I'm really pleased to have back in the studio today Catherine Stewart of Living Oceans Society, and we should get an update on what's been going on with the sea lice problem and the salmon off the coast of British Columbia, and the whole problem of salmon farming, whether it really is endangering our wild stock. So, Catherine, welcome.
Thank you. Good to be here.
And you were in Norway in June, I gather?
Yes, that's correct. I was part of a delegation that went from British Columbia, from Chile, which is one of the world's, the world's largest salmon farm producer, and from the Pure Salmon Campaign in the United States, which also has representatives in Scotland and does work in Ireland as well, other fish farming jurisdictions.
So there are people around the world who are concerned about this problem. Who went from British Columbia?
Myself and Brian Gunn, who's the president of the Wilderness Tourism Association, and Chief Bob Chamberlain of the Kwiksutanik First Nation in the Broughton Archipelago.
So the Broughton seems to be the focus of this. What were you doing over in Norway?
We were there for the annual general meeting and shareholder meeting of Marine Harvest, which is the largest salmon farming company in the world. And we presented before the board, the chief executives and the shareholders, stating the case about how their fish farms that are placed on the migratory routes of wild salmon are harming our wild salmon, and appealing to the board to change their practices. It's a threat to the salmon, and the salmon are the backbone of the culture and traditions of the First Nations in British Columbia's coast. It's also a threat to businesses that depend on nature and a healthy natural world, which is why Mr. Gunn, the president of the Wilderness Tourism Association, joined us.
Yes, I guess a lot of people, whether they're rich or middle class, want to go and fish the wild salmon, and of course also the Aboriginal people have been depending on them for thousands of years, and we know that the forest also depends on the wild salmon. So what kind of response does the Norwegian government have to all this?
Well, the Norwegian government is actually starting to try and tackle the problem. Unlike Canada's federal and provincial governments, they've recognized that the weight of scientific evidence internationally is clear that fish farms breed sea lice kill wild salmon, and something has to be done to address the problem. In fact, in British Columbia, the problem is even worse because our juvenile salmon are much smaller than the wild Atlantic salmon when the Atlantics emerge from their freshwater streams. So we have an exacerbated problem and a government completely unwilling to address it. In Norway, they are in the process of declaring areas as national salmon rivers, recognizing that the wild stocks are really important and they must be afforded some degree of protection from the fish farms. Two fjords in Norway have been declared completely fish farm free, and all of the open net cage pens have to move out of those fjords in their entirety. And 51 in total have been identified as national salmon rivers where the fish farms are being forced out the length of the fjord to the outer edges where it emerges into the ocean, the theory being that the juvenile salmon will be slightly larger by the time they reach the farms and better able to withstand the sea lice infestations.
Do you see these sorts of things happening in British Columbia in the future?
No, and that was part of the message that we were delivering to Norway and to the Norwegian corporations that operate in BC. 90% of the fish farms in British Columbia are controlled by three Norwegian companies, Marine Harvest, Grieg Seafoods, and Cermaq, or Mainstream. And the companies are practicing in British Columbia in ways that they can no longer run their businesses in Norway, but they can get away with it here, and so they continue to do so. We wanted to let the Norwegian citizens and the Norwegian government, which is a major shareholder in Cermaq, know that these companies are, you know, exploiting BC's wilderness and threatening our wild salmon stocks.
What were the Chilean representatives having to say?
Well, the Chilean representatives, one was from the Pure Salmon Campaign, which is affiliated with National Environment Trust, and they're concerned about the ecological impacts of the absolute explosion of salmon farms in Chile. And there was also a representative from the Salmon Farmers and Fishermen's Workers Association. I believe there have been 18 deaths in the last 2 years associated with salmon farm production in Chile. Divers are dying when they're checking the nets. There's just very poor work conditions, very poor labor rights, which is, I suppose, not surprising. But again, the Norwegian companies are taking advantage of lax labor laws and standards in a foreign country, and from the workers' perspective, exploiting the workers, not caring for their health and safety.
But we have possibly a more positive direction coming here in British Columbia with this idea of closed containment farming. Can you tell us what's going on with that?
Absolutely. The Living Oceans and the Coastal Alliance for Aquaculture Reform have been calling for years for a transition to closed containment. And recently, the provincial government's appointed special committee on sustainable aquaculture came to the same conclusions. The majority report recommended a transition over the next 5 years for all open net cage fish farms into closed containment technology. The fish farming industry and its supporters are claiming that it's unproven, untested, untried, it can't be done. But in fact, it can be. And in fact, there was a very successful land-based operation of closed tank fish farming that raised a very good product, raised the salmon in the tanks. The problem was the expense. Economically, because it was land-based and there was a great deal of cost associated with pumping the water up to the land-based facility, it was cost prohibitive. The same entrepreneur who developed that facility is now looking at a floating tank system that would be placed in the ocean with impermeable barriers around the tanks, preventing sea lice escapings from the farm, preventing predator interactions with the farm, etc. And in a huge leap forward, in July, a federal not-for-profit corporation that was created by the Government of Canada, called Sustainable Development Technology Canada, announced that after rigorous due diligence, they had concluded this was a very worthwhile proposal, and they awarded the Middle Bay Sustainable Aquaculture Institute $2.4 million to start building the first floating closed-contained tanks.
So we might be able to have a project here that would show a way out for the rest of the world where we could have farmed fish, but we wouldn't have all the damage to the wild stocks. Is that the idea behind this?
Damage to the wild stocks, damage to the benthic environment, the ocean bottom, you know, threats to seals and sea lions, all of the problems associated with open net cage fish farming could quite probably be effectively addressed by closed containment. We believe, and the proponents behind the agri-marine project believe, that it can be done in an economically viable way as well. So the plan at this point is for a pilot project with four tanks, commercial scale, to be in the water. The first fish should be going in this winter. And the Coastal Alliance for Aquaculture Reform, is part of a multi-stakeholder monitoring body that will be looking at the environmental performance of the project as well as the economic performance.
How can people find out more about CAR and about your own organization?
Well, you can go to our website, which is livingoceans.org. You can check out the coalition website, farmedanddangerous.org. And you can also look at the Middle Bay Project under sustainable-aquaculture.com, I believe. Anyway, search for agri-marine or Middle Bay Sustainable Aquaculture, and you can learn more about the closed tank technology as well.
Is there anything else you'd like to tell us?
Just that we are extremely concerned at the provincial government's continued intransigence on this issue. After the committee's report, the provincially appointed committee's report was released recommending a transition to closed containment, the government said they would have a response within a month or two. It's been several months now, and their only response has been to approve three more open net cage farms on the BC coast, one on the west coast of Vancouver Island near Nootka Sound, and two more on the central coast, the central mainland coast of BC. We're extremely concerned by this. We feel that the evidence, the scientific evidence to date, the weight of public opinion in British Columbia, all the forces are indicating that the government should at the very least stop approving any more open neck cage farms that are threatening the health of our oceans and the survival of our wild salmon stocks, in particular our pink and chum salmon. Unfortunately, instead of matching the federal government's contribution to developing closed containment, all the government has done so far is keep issuing new licenses for more open net cage farms.
Just keep printing up those licenses and throwing out more dangerous farmed salmon, and instead of investing in the solutions to it. I'm hoping there will be a reversal in that. I presume that you have some pressure on the government and some connections with the government to try and bring them around to a new future for salmon farming.
We absolutely do, and we're in ongoing dialogue with the minister responsible, with his deputy, and with other staff in the department in the Ministry of Agriculture, which is responsible for fish farming in BC. We hope that when the government reconvenes in the fall and cabinet is able to discuss these issues in depth, that there will be a budget allocation and that the government will contribute to and invest in this solution. We're optimistic, and Living Oceans and our allies in CAR are going to keep pushing for that. But in the meantime, it's very encouraging to see the federal government support this and to see the fish going into the closed containment tanks sometime this winter. It's a major step forward in BC, and we hope that we can prove the traditional aquaculture industry wrong when they claim that this could never be done.
Thank you so much, Catherine Stewart from the Living Oceans Society.
My pleasure.
This is EcoShock Radio. All environment, all the time. Get more info on the web at EcoShock.org.